I've been really struggling with trying to find the words to explain how bad the situation is because I've, you know, over many years I've warned about lots of different scenarios that could occur from financial collapse and, you know, civil war, etc. And fortunately, we dodged a lot of potential bullets, you know, false flag events, right? Radiological events, World War III, until now. We've dodged them all until now, and at the moment we stand on the verge of the destruction, the engineered destruction, of two things that keep humanity alive, and that's food and energy. And of course, as you know, we've covered this, about half of the world's population lives on food that was grown with fertilizer created through the Haber-Bosch process that uses natural gas to create ammonia and then urea and then nitrogenous fertilizers, etc. And that infrastructure is being meticulously destroyed. And at the same time, oil. You know, oil infrastructure is being partially destroyed, but oil transportation has been shut down by, of course, Trump starting this war with Iran, followed by the closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which is now about 30 days in. So we are about to plunge now. Let me step back and say it this way. We had a 30-day buffer. We've burned through that buffer. So we had a 30-day buffer of oil in the pipeline and gas in the pipeline. Oh, for food, we have more than a 30-day buffer. Just a little silver lining there for you. We have really months, like one season of a food buffer, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, we do. But for fuel, we don't have much more of a buffer remaining. Depends on which country you're living in, but right now a lot of Asian countries are dealing with extreme fuel scarcity. It's going to get worse. I'm talking about even the Philippines. Also, in India, it's becoming an issue, but also South Korea, etc. This is going to get way worse. And then gas shortages are going to hit Taiwan and Japan and South Korea, and of course, Western European countries. Australia's about to get hammered very hard with fuel shortages. Same thing with New Zealand. Interestingly, the United States will be the last to be impacted by all of this. But the world will suffer, and the world will burn, and supply chains will collapse at a scale that none of us have ever witnessed. And if the Strait of Hormuz closure continues for another month, then everything gets like an order of magnitude worse. You know, it gets 10 times worse if this goes on another month. And then if it goes on two more months, then it gets, let's say, 100 times worse. So this is kind of like the Richter scale for earthquakes, you know, how every higher number is actually 10 times more energy. Well, every higher month number in this catastrophe is 10 times more destruction on the planet. At least that's my estimate. That's what I'm describing. And this problem cannot be resolved quickly. And everything that Trump is doing is making it worse. Right now, there are about 50,000 U.S. troops that are in the Middle East region. Something like 2,000 paratroopers from the 82nd Airborne, 2,500 Marines, a bunch of other special forces, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, etc. A total of about 50,000. Now, it doesn't mean 50,000 are going to stage an invasion, but InfoWars, Alex, is reporting that there's going to be some kind of like a dozen special forces missions where they're going to get dropped deep inside Iranian territory, and their job is to go in there and get the enriched uranium material and take it out of Iran. That sounds like a total suicide mission. I don't know about you. That sounds like suicide. And it sounds like it's going to fail. And even if it were to succeed, you know, Iran could get nuclear material from Russia or North Korea or Pakistan. In fact, you know, there's just been a deal with Pakistan where Iran is allowing 20 tankers from Pakistan to traverse the Strait of Hormuz at the rate of two per day over the next 10 days. And Trump tried to take credit for that. It's got nothing to do with Trump. That's between Iran and Pakistan. But maybe that's a deal in exchange for some, you know, nuclear material from Pakistan. Who knows? Pakistan has many, like over 100 nuclear weapons, by the way. Could they loan a couple to Iran? Say, here, you know, here's a couple of nukes. Just be sure to build new ones and give us two back, you know, after you're done destroying whatever you're going to target. Is that a possibility? Yeah, sure, it's a possibility. But there is no evidence that landing U.S. troops in Iran is going to result in the Strait of Hormuz opening up to all traffic. There's not a single shred of evidence to support that notion. And by the way, jumping in there and rescuing the enriched uranium material, if that's even possible, which seems highly doubtful, that doesn't open the Strait of Hormuz either. You know, see, Iran's greatest weapon against the West is not nuclear material. It's the economic cost of the continued closure of the Strait of Hormuz. In effect, Iran doesn't need nuclear weapons to nuke the financial system of the West, because the financial system is already so fragile and weak that it will implode upon itself as oil heads towards $200 a barrel. And as, you know, derivatives markets start to unwind, as loan defaults kick in and force majeure kicks in, which has already begun. You know, the fragile financial house of cards, basically a giant Ponzi scheme of the West, everything from bonds and treasuries to, you know, stocks and derivatives and so on, that system is getting nuked by the fact that so much industry is being shut down from energy shortages. That's why Iran is not in any big hurry to end this war, because, you know, Iran has suffered under economic sanctions for 47 years, I think, something like that. And it's only going to take a few months for the West to suffer under energy sanctions for the Western financial house of cards to self-destruct. That's what Iran is counting on, that every day the Strait of Hormuz stays closed, the economic pain to Western civilization continues to heighten. It worsens, in other words, on a daily basis at a rate that was unimaginable before this all began. Because you see, people in the West, they believe all the stock market hype, and they believe the dollar hype, and they think that the U.S. currency is the strongest in the world, etc., and that it's always going to be here, and that it's always going to hold value. None of those things are true. And so they're largely oblivious to the fragility of the system. And the system is now beginning to implode. And this is why Trump is so desperate. Every Sunday night or Monday morning, he's desperate to claim that, oh, we're negotiating with Iran, and they've agreed to all our points, and, you know, great news, that they've arranged to let me have the Navy escort, you know, ships through the Strait or whatever. That's all fairy tales. None of that ever happened. But Trump is desperate to manipulate the markets because they're so fragile. Because if the markets were allowed to react to the reality of the situation, which is that it's basically hopeless for the U.S. military to reopen the Strait without Iran's consent, that if the markets were to factor that in, we would be dealing with a massive stock market collapse and a bond collapse in the sense that, you know, bond rates would skyrocket well above 5%, which would collapse the ability of the U.S. government to refinance its debt, which is already over $39 trillion, as you know. So this is what's actually happening. Iran isn't waging war on the West, not really with missiles or bombs. It doesn't have an air force. It doesn't have a navy. It's waging war through economic strangulation. And Iran was just given the gift by God of incredible geographic control because of the shape of the Strait of Hormuz and the fact that so much of the world's energy comes out of the Persian Gulf region, including the gas fields underneath the Persian Gulf that Iran calls the South Pars gas field and Qatar calls it the North Field, I believe. But there's so much oil and gas in that region, and it all goes through one narrow strait. That's God's handiwork right there. And Iran, just for whatever reason throughout history, the history of the Persian culture, just happened to end up with direct control over this single most important sea route on planet Earth in terms of modern civilization. Now, granted, that might all be obsolete one day if we develop hot fusion technology, right? Or even if cold fusion stops being suppressed and gets commercialized, which some of that's happening, but it's not quickly enough. But as long as the world runs on hydrocarbons, then Iran is in a unique position for controlling the Strait of Hormuz. And I will tell you, I'm saying it again, that strait will never be open until Iran wants it to be open. It doesn't matter how many Marines are landed. It doesn't matter what the threats are from Trump. At this point, it doesn't matter if the U.S. even drops nuclear bombs on Iran. Iran will not surrender because this is an existential fight. And if the U.S. dropped nuclear bombs, by the way, then, well, that would initiate probably nuclear retaliation from Russia and China. Then we would be in a nuclear world war. And, you know, Iran has over 90 million people. And even if the U.S. drops a nuke and kills, you know, 300,000 people, like roughly what happened in World War II with Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I don't believe Iran would give up. I don't think they would surrender. I think they would say, well, now you've just shown how evil you are. Now we have to endure. And we will continue to strangle Western civilization until the evil satanic West, which is really the terror hub of the world, is destroyed. You know, the Epstein Empire and the what has become, sadly, the American empire of global terrorism that is inflicting terrorism on the world. And, you know, the U.S. is the only country in the world to have dropped nuclear weapons on civilian populations. War crimes. Clearly war crimes. And that doesn't even count America's war crimes against the German people with the bombing of Dresden. Again, mostly civilians targeted there, not soldiers of the Third Reich. So the U.S. has clearly the most extensive history of acts of terrorism against the world. And Israel, as Netanyahu has now admitted on video, has been funding the terror groups in the Middle East in order to have an enemy to justify all kinds of, you know, genocide by Israel. So the U.S. and Israel together are the terror states of the world. And it's not going to be easy to dismantle these terror states and their fake fiat currency because they have nuclear weapons. But it's the only way for the world to survive with anything resembling peace in the future is that the dollar will collapse, the U.S. military will collapse, the United States of America government, which is entirely corrupt, it's a lawless criminal regime, it will collapse, and the Israeli government will collapse. And when those things happen, then humanity has a potential future. And even America has a future at that point to reinvigorate itself on a new path without the existing Senate and House and regime and currency and so on. The spirit of America will continue to survive even if this current American corrupt Epstein regime collapses. And that would actually be a good thing, because the only way to get back to a real America is to dismantle the current system or to watch it fail, and then to be ready to construct a whole new pro-human, pro-liberty system on the other side of that. And that's one of the things that we need to be ready for. But it is highly likely, in my view, that Trump will continue to pursue this war with Iran to the point of the destruction of America. So Trump wanted regime change in Iran. Instead, he's probably going to get regime change in the United States. And over the weekend, in fact, there were so-called No Kings protests all across America, major U.S. cities. I don't know how many million Americans were involved in those protests, but they were the largest that they've been yet. And granted, those protests were a lot of sort of Trump-hating leftists that have always protested against Trump, but they were joined now by a lot of independents and a lot of former conservatives who have come to realize that Trump is a dangerous con man who now his actions and his decisions represent a threat to the very survival of the human race, and that Trump needs to be impeached and removed from power if we are to have any chance. And the U.S. needs to pull out of the Middle East, which is already halfway done because every U.S. military base in the region is nearly destroyed at this point, even according to the New York Times, by the way. And once thousands of U.S. soldiers die trying to take land in Iran, then, you know, perhaps Trump will be forced to rethink this and America will be forced to pull out because its currency is collapsing at the same time. You know, the U.S. can't actually continue to fund this war forever if it can't find new buyers for its debt. And as bond yields rise over 5% and Japan is selling off hundreds of billions of dollars of treasury holdings, and other nations are clearly involved in the same thing, and the Arab states realize that it's actually, you know, being an ally with the U.S. puts a target on your back rather than giving you protection, then who's going to want to trade in the dollar? What happens to the dollar demand? It collapses. What happens to energy sales in dollars? Those are already collapsing right now. What's the future of the dollar? It's not good. It's basically a future of zero. And once the dollar fails, then the U.S. empire collapses like the Soviet empire did in 1991. And we may not be very far away from that. And in fact, Trump may be accelerating us in that direction on purpose. As Michael Yan has said, that he believes Trump has always been a Trojan horse, and Trump's mission has been the total and complete destruction of the United States of America from within. Looking at it now, that appears to be Trump's mission, is the destruction of America. Basically, you know, Obama 2.0. Obama did a lot of damage to America, and Trump appears to be continuing that damage to finish off what Obama started. The destruction of America's military, the destruction of our currency, the destruction of our international reputation, the destruction of our industry, the destruction of our relationships with allies, on and on. Destruction of our supply chains through punitive tariffs. Yeah, it's going to get bad. And so my message to you is that you need to, well, I don't mean to lecture you, I mean, I count myself too. I need, and you need, we together, we need to be prepared for an engineered global supply chain collapse that we've never game played this one before. We haven't simulated this outcome before. You know, we've prepared for nuclear war. We prepared for grid down cyber attacks, etc. We haven't prepared for a global collapse of energy and supply chains. You know, Mad Max scenarios of begging for fuel, right? That's a scenario that very few people have considered because it was unthinkable that we would be in this situation where we, the human race, we would be destroying our own energy infrastructure. And yet Trump has brought the human race to that point of insanity, where it's like a suicide cult that he's running, and whoever's still following him, a bunch of MAGA-tard idiots, are just part of the suicide cult. It's amazing to me that there's still anybody out there following Trump at this point. But there are. I mean, mostly they're being paid, the influencers. And then there's the Zionists, you know, like Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin, Lunatic, and others. They're all, you know, they're pro-Israel, not pro-America. But Trump is still running this effort to destroy the world and destroy our supply chains. And so I ordered some extra products over the weekend, by the way. I took inventory of the air filters for some of my ranch equipment. you know, diesel engines, they have air intake filters. And I realized I was missing some spare air filter elements for one of my machines. So I went ahead and ordered that. It's like $30 today. In 6 months, it'll be unavailable, or maybe before that, or it'll be priced at like $300. But that's what's coming. And almost nobody's ready for that. Least of all Trump. He's not ready for what he has unleashed. And what's amazing to me is that right now, I'm guessing about 90% of the American people despise Trump. That even Fox News, which is rigging the polls in favor of Trump, is reporting that his disapproval rate is something close to 70%, I think. Maybe not, you know, not in all groups, but across the board, I think is approaching 70%. The real number, I think, is more like 90%, but those 90%, they know they hate Trump, but they don't know what's coming. They still don't know what's coming. They're not prepared for the supply chain collapse and for the, you know, the food collapse. They're not preppers. Most people are not preppers. They've never really planned for these scenarios, and so they're just flat out not ready for it. And I mean, they're angry that gas prices are rising, but they probably think that, oh, this is just a short-term thing. You know, Trump's going to reopen the Strait, or if they even know what the Strait of Hormuz is, which is highly doubtful, they just figure, somehow everything's going to get fixed and gas is going to get cheaper. They're wrong. Gas is not going to get cheaper anytime soon, and the Strait is not going to be open anytime soon, unless Trump surrenders to Iran's demands, which seems highly likely, or unlikely, excuse me. I don't think he's going to do that. So this could go on for the rest of the year with those thousands of transport ships, you know, stuck in the Persian Gulf, not able to sail, with all those oil fields offline, effectively, except for some minor pipelines, you know, from Saudi Arabia. But we're talking about a loss of 20 million barrels of oil a day. And we're talking about a loss of somewhere between 20 and 22% of the global natural gas production completely offline. Oh, and in the meantime, by the way, did you see that one of the oil export facilities in Russia has been almost completely destroyed by Ukraine drones, Ukrainian bombing drones? That took place over the last few days as well. That takes a massive amount of oil offline until those repairs are complete. Makes me wonder, why didn't Russia have better air defenses there, knowing that that was within range of Ukrainian drones, right? But you can bet that target was chosen by the U.S. military with U.S. satellite imagery, etc. So Russia's probably going to respond to that in some escalatory fashion that we don't even know about yet. On top of that, the Valero oil refinery in the United States, you may recall last week there was a fire, and that fire really got bad, and it took that thing offline. And that is, I think it was like 400,000, is it 400,000 gallons a day that it processes? Yeah, or it's either gallons or barrels. I'm sorry, I know that's a very different unit, but I remember the number, 400,000, but I've forgotten the unit. It's, either way, it's a considerable amount of, you know, diesel and gas and kerosene and jet fuel, etc., that is now offline in America. And some people think that was terrorism. I don't know. They said it was just an accident. Yeah, well, yeah, and the Pentagon tells us that every plane that was shot down was just had a maintenance problem. Yeah, I'm sure it has a maintenance problem after it blows up in the sky. Then it's got lots of maintenance problems, right, as it falls to the ground. It needs a lot of maintenance because it's all blown up. So you see energy infrastructure is being taken offline all over the world, not just the Middle East. The war is raging still between Ukraine and Russia. And there's apparently, there's sabotage operations happening in the United States. I'm not sure who's doing it yet, but it's happening. And there are things happening in other countries as well. So we are looking at, again, what appears to be an engineered global takedown of energy and food infrastructure as well as supply chains. And that means that whoever's behind all of this, if there is some kind of grand plan, they plan to kill off about half the human population. 4 billion people, roughly, give or take. That's going to mean that all of us will live through some very difficult times of intense suffering and collapse and, for a lot of people, panic and desperation. Not so much for you and I, because we've thought through at least some scenarios, but not this scenario. This is going to be a drawn-out, slow kill-off. As societies collapse, people lose their minds and people panic, and there are civil uprisings and civil wars and power grid failures, and, you know, just on and on. This is what's going to happen. And famine in one area after another, economic collapse. This is where this is going. India is going to get hit very hard. I feel very sorry for India right now, because they depend so much on Gulf oil, and they're not getting it. And a very large percentage of their population lives just marginally above poverty, or in poverty. And they can't afford a doubling of food prices without dire consequences. That's true for a few other countries as well. But India stands out because of its very high population and its special vulnerability. Many African countries are in a similar boat, just on the verge of starvation, just due to widespread poverty and sometimes lack of good agricultural practices. But without fertilizer, many African nations are going to be in real trouble as well. So the U.S., I would say the U.S. and Russia and China will be the top three countries that are the least impacted by this effort, but not immune to all of this. It's still going to be incredibly difficult to make it through all of this as an American or a Canadian or a European citizen. It will be more difficult. But if you live in Russia, you're probably going to be okay. If you live in China, there's going to be some hard times, but you'll be able to make it through. And if you live in America, you'll be able to make it through with some planning and some preparedness, most of which you should have probably already completed anyway. So this maybe doesn't require you to do a whole lot more, because you've already got, I assume, some level of stored food and garden seeds, and you know how to grow some food, and you know how to live in a more self-reliant fashion, etc. Those skills are going to serve you very well. The people who are vulnerable will be those who have zero preparedness, zero stored wealth, no savings, and no knowledge of how to live when the system shuts down. A lot of food stamp people, 40 plus million Americans are on food stamps. They will be especially vulnerable to this, and maybe that's all by design. Probably is. There's a culling that's happening on a global scale, and America is part of it. So the best advice I have for you is to, number one, don't panic, but definitely prioritize your own preparedness and plan for a fuel drought and energy lockdowns. So yeah, food famine, but that's later in the year. Coming sooner is going to be, fuel rationing, diesel and gasoline and maybe propane, etc. So prepare for that in whatever way you can, and have backup communications. Our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, they sell sat phones that will work even when your power grid is down, obviously. So you can contact them, sat123.com, and they've also got solar generators there for backup energy. That's a good idea right now. And then my online store is healthrangerstore.com, where we have storable, certified organic, lab-tested food, like high-end, the best high-end food, like freeze-dried fruits and things like that, as well as iodine. We've got a good iodine supply and hundreds of other super clean, tested products for personal care and much more. So pay attention to what's happening here. And the situation is very dynamic, right? It can change rapidly, but the bottom line is I do not believe that the Strait of Hormuz is going to open anytime soon. And I do not believe that the U.S. military landing troops in Iran is going to magically solve this problem and end this war. I don't think that's going to happen at all. So hunker down for a long, drawn-out war, which means a long, drawn-out collapse of energy and food and fertilizer. And again, I think ultimately it's all by design. I think that's exactly what's happening, and it's happening on purpose. As a final end cap on all of this, Trump has said that Iran is not going to have a country remaining if they don't give up their nuclear material. And I have to ask the question, what gave Trump the right, or America the right, or anybody the right to determine which other countries develop nuclear weapons? You know, nuclear energy is a universal property of the laws of physics. And I assume the laws of physics are available to every nation. This whole idea, well, we can't let Iran have nuclear weapons. You know, says who? You know, who made you the world's cops? And the truth is, it's just bullying by nuclear powers against a non-nuclear power at the moment. And the only way to, if you're a nation, the only way to be safe against the bullies of the world is to build nuclear weapons. That's literally the only way now to be safe. And so, if anything, what Trump and Netanyahu are doing is motivating Iran to build and demonstrate nuclear weapons as quickly as possible, because that's the only way that anyone will leave them alone. Once they announce that they're a nuclear country, which they seemingly will, I mean, if they're rational, they will do that soon, right? And at that point, it's like, oh, well, sorry, we didn't mean to offend you with our, you know, attacks and everything, because suddenly they're a nuclear power. So no, in my mind, nothing gives America the right to determine which other countries are allowed to have nuclear weapons. And frankly, it seems obvious to me that if Iran had nuclear weapons, that would be a stabilizing force. And if Iran had nukes, then, you know, Israel would have to maybe stop bombing everybody in the region. And the U.S. would back off and the strait would be open again. So actually, Iran achieving nuclear weapons seems to be very stabilizing for the region, and it would stop a lot of war. But Iran, they chanted death to America. How many times has Pete Hegseth chanted death to Iran? You know, I mean, effectively, and Trump and Netanyahu and death to Palestine. And, you know, how many times have they acted on that? Not just said it, but acted on it. So the real instigators of violence in the region are the United States and Israel. That's clear. That's not debatable at all. And the only way to stop them would be to have some parity of power in the region. So nuclear weapons in the hands of Iran at this point would clearly actually de-escalate the situation and would save lives, including the lives of U.S. soldiers. So if you know a U.S. soldier that's being deployed to the region, you should pray that Iran acquires nuclear weapons to help save the life of your soldier friend. Seriously. Because then they don't have to die for Israel, because the whole thing would be called off. So let's pray for peace through whatever mechanism is effective that stops suffering and death. How about that? And I guess, you know, people can debate different methods to achieve that, but Trump's method of, you know, what is it? Peace through strength. That's classic Orwellian. It's war is peace. Peace through strength. It means that peace is war, or war is peace. That's absurd. War is not peace, but deterrence is peace. And deterrence is achieved by acquiring nuclear weapons. So yeah, deterrence. How about peace through deterrence instead of peace through war? You know, Trump's idea is, oh, we just have to bomb them into oblivion until there's no one left and kill all their leaders and kill all their people and bomb all their cities and destroy everything. That's never been a path to peace, has it? Never. It's a path to genocide and war crimes, which is the path that Trump is following, but it's not a path to peace. So pray for real peace and pray for de-escalation. And thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here. You can follow my work at brightvideos.com as well as naturalnews.com. Take care. Yes, the world is getting crazy, but here at the Health Ranger store, we're putting together a survival supply assortment for you. If you go to healthrangerstore.com/survival, you'll see what we put together for you, including iodine and iosat. That's a specific brand name of potassium iodide that's FDA approved. Or we have the nascent iodine here, which is less expensive in terms of the iodine that you get. These are available in case things go nuclear. It's clear that you will not be able to find any of this for sale anywhere. All the inventories will be wiped out, like what happened after Fukushima in 2011. So if you want to get your hands on some iodine, this is a chance to get it right now. healthrangerstore.com/survival. In addition, we have many other survival items for you here, including some silver solutions, some spirulina available in bulk and at a discount, and then a large assortment of storable organic food that's laboratory tested, including our Ranger Bucket sets. Here's a 195-day supply. We've got the mini buckets, and we've also got number 10 cans available of freeze-dried fruits and vegetables and other things like miso soup powder. Here's some of the buckets. There's a big variety available. Here are some of the number 10 cans right here. Remember, a lot of people are missing fruit. They don't have enough vitamin C in their storable food. So, you know, getting bananas and pineapples and strawberries, especially, again, certified organic, freeze-dried. That is the highest quality with the highest nutrient preservation that you can get in any kind of a storable food format. All of this is available right now and so much more. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/survival. And because the freeze-dried foods last for so long, you know, even if you don't eat them this year or next year, just keep them on the shelf. They're going to last a very long time with good preservation, a long shelf life, and they will have value no matter what happens in the world. Now, of course, I'm praying for peace. I'm praying for de-escalation. I don't want to see World War III break out, and I certainly don't want it to go nuclear. But we're dealing with insane times and insane leaders and insane situations. Who knows what could happen tomorrow or next week? Disruptions could happen here in the United States. There could be, you know, domestic attacks that disrupt supply chains here in the U.S. So stock up early, stock up now, get your emergency food, emergency medicine, iodine, anything else that you think that you might need. Get it now. And by doing so, by shopping with us, you'll be supporting our platforms and our AI engines that we offer for free. That's funded in part by sales from our store. So shop with us at healthrangerstore.com/survival and help yourself get prepared and also help us bring you more free tools and platforms that can keep you informed no matter what happens in the world. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.